Welcome to Sample Size Podcast, the fashion and entertainment hangout produced by Sample Size Media. You can support us by giving the show 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and leaving a review, or by following us everywhere on social at Sample Size Media. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the show. Welcome back to Sample Size Podcast. It's me, your co-host, Noelle, and we are here for episode 23, the lesbian fashions episode. I cannot do this alone, as this is the podcast about fashion with friends. So I have brought along one of my closest friends, one of the first lesbians in my life. I think I actually forced you out of the closet one day at Pitt. I vaguely remember that, but I'm here with my good friend Jordan Taylor. Say hi.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jordan, the lesbian. I came to college ready to, like, to hit the ground.
Be out.
Unfortunately, you know, there was some waffling, but we're here now, and because remember...
Yeah, I mean, in retrospect, though, like, you waffled for what? Maybe a year and a half? And I waffled for, like, 6, so.
It's okay. It balances out. It does everything.
Right. We're here now. I mean, I feel like I definitely was, like, out at a point, and then, I don't know, trauma.
Yeah, I remember we had talked about it, like, I'd be sniffing them out, like, you know. I know, why? I could see, you know, I could feel it, but I was like, okay, you know, I'm gonna let them come to terms, and, you know, one day.
I was having that conversation with you, let's be realistic.
You're right, you're absolutely right, because I don't know what I was doing my first year in school. I was living...
I don't even want to think about it, honestly.
It was a delusion, and we don't have to think about it anymore.
It was rough, but you know what, we're here now, okay, we're better. And we're here to reflect on some, I mean, I know you can relate to some of these stylistic choices. I personally cannot. But before we get into our main episode, this is Sample Size Podcast. This is a fashion podcast. So I want you to describe your personal style using a movie character or song title.
Okay, so I have a few, if that's allowed.
Yeah.
So,
yes, it's allowed.
So I think I really can chop up my life or my stylistic choice. I'm gonna start at the beginning, and then I'm gonna get to now. So my first era was kind of when I was talking about, like, first stepping into my little, you know, gay self. I was heavy on the flannel and the single sole box and the Vans.
Yeah. Well, this was in the early 2010s, so I feel like that was more acceptable.
That's true. I also did it later in 2010s.
Yeah. I was trying to give you a little credit there.
So very skater boy, see you later boy. Like, that was what I wanted. It was. Then I had my little awkward femme phase when I was wearing the bodycon skirts. Don't really want to go there too much.
When was that? I was like, I don't even recall that.
That was the party culture. I remember somebody asked me, like, are you wearing that same tank top again? And I was just like, listen, I'm struggling here. Please do not point out that I have
not the same femme outfit.
Pink tank top. And then I was borrowing a friend's black bodycon that I just was like, I can't buy this myself. So, like, I was as this straight feminine person wearing the booties.
Very. Oh my God. Yes. The booties era. It was rough.
I'm delivered.
Oh, but, my God. Yeah. Undergrad fashion was honestly just, it was rough for everyone.
But I'm here now. I'm better. Like, I identify as non-binary, so I think that also kind of influenced, like, yes, I'm lesbian and non-binary, so it's just, like, my style is all in one. So I could say that, like, some days when I'm feeling more femme and stuff, I would say something that I could, the song title would be, like, Celebrity Skin by Doja Cat.
Bitch, that song is not by Doja Cat.
It's not Doja Cat? Yes, it is.
That's a cover, oh my God, I really almost called it, Bitch, that's a whole cover. It's called from the band Hole, Courtney Love.
Well, anyway, Celebrity Skin.
Jesus Christ.
I like the Doja Cat
you
version.
You dead ass thought that was a Doja Cat song.
I didn't. Listen, it came on and I was like, this is a very nice, I love this song.
Well, that song came out in like the 90s, the late, like that was like the Kurt Cobain grunge, like that was a huge song.
How did
you not know that?
Listen.
Wow.
Back to my songs.
Mm-hmm.
That and then when I'm feeling very artsy fartsy, Fast Car by Tracy Chapman.
I'm trying to think if is that the You Had a Fast Car song?
Yeah. Also, you could throw in Fast Car by Sid too. I had those two fast cars right next to each other. Like that's the same.
I'm not ashamed to say that I primarily follow Sid because I'm attracted to them and not because I like their music.
I think that's unfortunately, that's a lot of people. I'm not gonna lie. I tried to listen to the new album.
You know, beautiful cargo pants. Love the cargo pants. Nice, complicated tank tops and cargo pants. Love it. I think that's a pretty solid. Wait, I'm sorry. Explain this quote on this note. If Avril and Hayley Williams adopted a light-skinned baby and you went to black art schools in a moderately well-funded community,
well,
would you like to defend yourself?
My lawyer is not present, but I decided, you know, you asked me this question, you know, I asked myself, and I wanted to see what other people thought. And I've been.
Oh, this was a community response.
This was a community response. The other response.
Oh, they dragged you.
They dragged. This was one of them, and another one. Like two of my other friends, they quoted at the same time, and they live in different places, so they would never know. One said an old Midwestern dyke, and then the other said a baby dyke. So I just want to know what the truth is. Am I Lori Lightfoot or what?
I do think it's kind of like an all of the above situation, if I'm being completely honest.
I just, what can I say?
It is what it is. It is what it is. And but you know what? That is why I brought you on for this episode, because I knew if anyone, you were a connoisseur in the art of sapphic style.
Yes.
I can't help but crack up as I read this outline, because I feel like you can just really tell how high I was when I wrote this.
The thing is, I read the article fully and I picked out the same quotes you did. I didn't read your outline. I was like, what the fuck? And I go back and look and I was like, damn, we had the same, like, same quote.
Things leapt out at me, truly. But yes, our main topic is about lesbian fashions. We are going to be doing a deep dive, an investigation, if you will, into the idea of lesbian fashions. What are they? And why are they trending? This is an article titled, Sapphic Style is Going Mainstream, by Jill Gudowitz in Harper's Bazaar. This is a very Caucasian perspective, okay? It reads, lesbians, we are a simple people. Our fashion reflects our need for efficiency and comfort. Sweater vests, Doc Martens, leather trench coats. These are simply tools of warmth and endurance. They've also become mainstream cool. Lately, it seems like the general public has caught on. Fashion should look extremely sick and feel also good and powerful. Outfits that once were the domain of queer women have been popularized on red carpets and in street fashion. Seeing straight identifying women wearing overalls, Tevas, and a bandana is somewhat disorienting, sure. But as a millennial who came of age in a deeply homophobic culture, seeing lesbian fashion mainstreamed feels validating, like we were right this whole time. And essentially, the author goes on to talk about what I define as like the rise in popularity of office wear, formal suiting, and kind of more relaxed and oversized silhouettes in women's wear. And also like lesbian staples and footwear and accessories, like Doc Martens and the Mary Janes, and kind of just a lot of like queer identifiers that lesbians typically are associated with. They're essentially becoming, you know, popular in the mainstream for whatever reason. So this quote in particular cracked me up. Any given straight woman named Sarah feels the freedom to dress like Trinity from the Matrix now, an outfit once reserved for intense queer women. So off rip, first thoughts, do you have any?
Intensely queer woman and
Trinity from the Matrix.
I think, sorry, just going back to the fact that this is a white woman.
This is white.
I was like, that's intensely queer. I just had to think. I was like, so have I been wrong this whole time?
When I tell you, I had to Google what a Tevas was, bitch, because I did not know what the fuck that shit was.
You said it, and I was just like, oh, I actually don't know what that is. Am I gay? Like, this is very much
it's a white shoe.
Gay is my personality.
Yeah, I mean, initial thought, this is definitely not really our perspective, which I think is why we both had like visceral reactions to reading it, because our idea of like queer aesthetics and like queer women's aesthetics are literally just based mostly on the Black women that we know.
Yeah.
And this is quite the opposite perspective.
Yeah, I would say, like, I don't know, for Black women, I'm trying to think of what the equivalent of the intensely leather trench coat would be.
Not even being funny, but my first thought is Queen Latifah and Set It Off.
Exactly. I was going to... Literally when I want to present as mask, when I think of being a lesbian, I immediately go to Set It Off. I'm like, I need to get my hair in straight backs. I'm in my close friends, like, y'all, like, I'm going to get straight backs.
Hot.
Back to my room.
Straight backs, cargo, baggy pants, complicated tank top.
Oh, you never wear anything that requires, you know, a quick and easy, you know, throw this on. Like, no, you need to be in the trenches. You need to be ripping things. You need to be flipping things. Like, it just has to be an outfit so outrageously put together that nobody could reconstruct it.
And you're very DIY. Like, I think of that as well. But you know what? They were making some points. So I do think, like, lesbians do adopt a lot of kind of like office wear as casual wear, where we tend to like wear trousers to like I do this even before like I was out. I love wearing trousers like to the club because I can wear something like really, really revealing on top and have like the balance of the office wear on the bottom. Like, that is kind of true.
Exactly. Yeah, I definitely pull out the olive green trousers and platform docks when mm-hmm. I'm really
the pinstripe to my pinstripe trousers for mm-hmm. sure.
I think, yeah, when I started fully embracing what being gay and like just dressing myself, that's what I would wear. And that's what I do wear. Like, you know, when I go on dates, when I go out, like mm-hmm. that's my go-to.
I do think it, depending on like, so you tend to present more like androgynous.
I would say so. I would say I mainly present androgynous, and then like I will dip into whichever side I'm feeling like. I'm kind of coming off my femme kick for the last couple of months.
Coming off of it.
You know, coming down off of it, you know, it's just kind of like, for me, sometimes it's hard when I'm like buying clothes because I like, you know, the different sides of myself. So like, I want to have the gender neutral, the trousers, you know, all of that ready to go. But then I want my, you know, extremely feminine clothes and then like my more masculine presenting clothes. Like, there's like three levels of clothing that I need to like be able to switch through.
And I do agree that, like, I kind of have my, okay, so I would consider it being, like, my work wardrobe where it's just, like, office wear to actually wear in the office. So literally just, like, black turtleneck, white button-down jeans, your good quality staples that I wear again, and I remix all the time. And then I have like my me clothes, you know, the tiniest skirt possible. I want like a balance between having my tits out or having my ass covered. Like I'm like a very feminine presenting person, but I have like a very clear aesthetic in my mind that's like my style, but then I have like my work style. And even though there is kind of intersections and like it overlaps a lot, like the office wear that I would wear to the club is not the same office wear that I literally wear to the office. There's like,
yeah,
special, there's something like different. Like it's a weird, even though essentially it's like the same things and you're just styling them differently, it just feels different.
You know, you gotta take the button, the top button off, you know, show the chest.
Yeah, that's
what you mean by like office wear, like, okay, you know, let it loose just a little bit.
Yeah, that's what it is. Because usually I feel like when I do wear office wear as like a casual thing, it's always paired with the most hoochie shit possible.
Exactly. Like I would just be dolled up in the other way. Like I may just have these, you know, regular ass clothes on, but then like the rest of me is like a character. Like I like dressing into a character today. Like when I get up and get dressed, like who do I want to be or what do I want to be
today? No, we're the same in that, where it's like I love the idea of telling a story, like, with an outfit, but I don't put that attention to detail into my, quote, everyday work clothes. I don't even have everyday work clothes because most of the time I'm in a hoodie behind my laptop with my camera off, but
I'm usually like that, but, like, recently I've been at work, and, like, I'll wear my little work office dyke wear, and, like, I'll be feminine on the top, you know, everything else will be fine, and then I'll catch people looking at me and they're a little confused sometimes, and I'm just,
your footwear,
not my footwear, like just the way that I'm dressed, but I do look feminine in the face and what like my hair looks like and my earrings and my rings and stuff, and so they're like, why are you dressed like that? I've actually gotten that.
Yeah, I haven't gotten, I don't know, I went, so when I first was coming to like putting a name to my sexuality, because that's how I feel, like I've always been queer but I've never identified as a lesbian, but when I was kind of putting a name to it, I had this moment, I was talking to Jaden about this, about feeling kind of weird because I don't outwardly present as queer, at least at that point I felt like I didn't, where now I'm trying to consciously find ways to do it that works with my personal style. Because even though, as we go back to this article, I don't necessarily agree with this article, but I do think queerness has become an aesthetic. Like it has become a commodity, you know?
I agree. I can kind of agree to what you're saying when you say that I'm trying to find ways to say that I'm queer because I'm not visibly queer. I think that once you're gay, like, queer style is basically you signifying, I am a member of the LGBT community. Like, that is just what you're doing. Like, when I used to wear my little dangle earring and people would be like, why are you wearing it? You wouldn't get it.
You don't get it.
Audience. Like, this is not for you.
They like, don't know. But you literally said the thesis of this episode is there's, dressing lesbian is not a thing, but dressing to be identified as queer and to find, it's almost like I'm trying to find my people, I'm trying to find community, I want you to see me, that is definitely an act, like a physical thing that you can do. And I know that's kind of like a controversial statement where people say like it's essentially like on the lines of being clocked, or like, oh, I can tell their sexuality. I'm not referring to like your physical
being stuff. Like,
I'm referring to strictly to clothing and like that. I'm not talking about like how your hair looks or even though your makeup definitely is a queer signifier.
Yes, absolutely.
Your makeup is, but I'm not talking about your physical being. I'm literally just talking about the, you know, your garments. Yeah. It is something that you can put on.
Yeah, because if you kind of like compare it to like, so you know how Black people, we see each other, you know, we obviously know, okay, this is the Black person in the room. You see somebody is visibly Black. when you're looking for a queer person, you're looking for certain things. Like, you can't always, queer is not like central to a race or whatever. Like, everybody can be queer, but we're looking for like the clothing, you know, the necklaces, the what you wear.
It is kind of how you carry yourself with that, yeah. Because even when I'm going out, you can tell like a straight girl who's dressed.
Absolutely. Like, they can,
versus a coochie muncher, you know, like, you can tell.
Yes.
You can just tell. I don't know.
You don't have to have a conversation. You can just look at them. You can just say like, you don't want this for real. You don't want to hit this.
It is definitely something that is like a quantifiable thing. Like, it's a physical thing. Okay. So back to this lovely article. Kristen Stewart, Zendaya, Dakota Johnson, Kate Blanchett are all cited as examples of celebrities who engage in this sapphic style. Notably, Kristen Stewart is the only queer identified woman on this list. And in addition, everyone is skinny, cis, able-bodied, and white or white adjacent. Which jumped out at me immediately.
Absolutely. I read those names and I was like, huh? Like, I literally was like, first of all, these are all white women.
I was like, I read those names and I was like, was this really written by a lesbian?
Like Kate Blanch, all Zendaya? Zendaya is only gay in what, Euphoria?
Let me tell you about you bitches and this fucking Zendaya wish fulfillment. Y'all want Zendaya to be gay so fucking bad.
It's not.
Why? Just because she wears suits?
She wears suits, she's tall, and like, she, you know,
the back. She's gorgeous, beautiful.
She's a beautiful girl, but she's not one of us. She's not.
Everything about her just screams like, I'm a straight girl with like a great sense of style.
Exactly. And that's what people say. Anytime somebody has a sense of style, they attribute that to being gay.
Yes.
Or like, the author of this was right. Like, maybe we were right all along. We were. But anytime somebody dresses well.
And it kills me because there's nothing like, it's an interesting kind of conversation to have, because I do like Zendaya's style. I just take issue with kind of any straight girl who wears a suit or a blazer on the red carpet is now the queen of the lesbians.
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime you do wear that, it's just kind of assumed that you're, you know, power suit or a lesbian, you're highly exalted.
And there are actually lesbians who will wear the same things on the same red carpets. Weird.
Yeah.
I will say that. Have you ever seen that? Have you seen the picture of Kristen Stewart at Hooters?
Yes.
I am unashamed to say that I think that is the fucking, I think it's, she looks so hot in that.
Yeah, like, yes. Like, yes. And it's just like, you just can't deny it. It's just kind of like,
it's so cringy. That's the other thing. In like fully accepting myself and just emerging more in the community and just making more friends with like queer femmes, I love a hey mama's lesbian. Unashamed. I'm fucking into it. I want a partner who is like, has such typical corny lesbian style. Something about it, I just love it. Like, aesthetically, I don't like it, but I am attracted to it.
Yeah, I will say that I do fall into the lesbian trap. I do want the, you know, like, that's what I'm here for. That's why I joined this team. This is what I came for.
I'm sorry, y'all not gonna shame me, okay? Y'all are not gonna be. I think Hey Mama's Kristen Stewart is very attractive, and I'm okay with that.
It's okay.
The confidence to pull it off is actually, I think, what I'm attracted to. Yeah. Because outfits be ugly.
Absolutely. That's the other thing I wanted to put in about lesbian style. It's not always good. Most of the time,
it's very bad.
It's actually terrible. If you just, if you were just a person just out of the blue looking at the outfits that we wear, the makeup that we do.
If you went downtown and walked into one of the only two lesbian bars in fucking Manhattan, you would be ashamed of the outfits, because I know I have. I have literally had that experience.
If I'm being honest, truthfully to my core, I love, you know, my sexuality, love being gay, but I am embarrassed deeply. Because I'm just like, this is it for me. Like, this is what I got to work with. And
speak for your motherfucking self, bitch, because it could never be me. It could never be me.
I would never get somebody, I would never be with somebody, like, who dressed terrible. But when I first started seeing how bad the outfits can get, I said, there has to be something better than this.
I do not mind dating someone who doesn't have a great sense of style if they are open to letting me style them.
I can, like, see how that.
I would love doing that.
I think I would definitely want somebody who does have a good sense of style. Yeah. I mean, we could dress like, honestly, I want to be mm-hmm. cute together. I want to be cute together.
I'm sorry. Like, maybe I'm just a narcissist, but I would want to dress my partner. Like, if you can't dress, then I want to help you. But I am also not, I don't think I could date, like,
you can't be better than me. That's
you can't, exactly. You can't.
We gotta be either.
It's like, how I'm open to dating a femme, but you can't be more femme than me.
Yeah. Well, sorry. That's different for me. I wonder how the people that I've dated or been interested in, like, feel when I start, you know, doing my little femme shit, like, because I can really get into it, and I just wonder how they feel, because sometimes I approach them when I'm more masculine or I'm like, right. In that mode, and sometimes I do hit a switch, and so I wonder if they're like, dang, like, they out feminine me today, so, like, I wonder how they feel sometimes.
I wouldn't mind. So I like the duality. I think that's super attractive. I think it's more of I don't know. I don't think I would care. I personally don't think I would care. That is an interesting. I've never been in that situation, so I feel like it is very much like a person by person, mm-hmm. relationship by relationship basis, but I personally don't think I would care that much. So we kind of discussed what we don't consider the pinnacles of lesbonic fashion, but we have not really explored what we think the pillars of sapphic style, of lesbonic aesthetics. What are some of the staples? What are the things that we were looking for?
What are we looking for? Well, I had here, it's not maybe clothes, but it's more so an accessory. You must have a tote bag. That is a lesbian thing. With only three items, no more than three items. You also have to have a beverage. That is a
single. Why no more than three?
Because nobody ever has anything in them. It just be books and pens that you don't read. Like, it's just any.
Never open the book.
Never really open. Never actually go in the tote bag for anything but lip gloss and lip liner, if that's mm-hmm. what you do. And if you're more masculine, it's just a wallet. I have been rocking with a wallet for a very long
time. On the chain?
Not on the chain. It's not on the chain. It's not on the chain.
Thank God.
Yeah, it's not on the chain.
It's not on a carabiner. A carabine, is that what you call that?
Oh yeah, the little thing.
Where am I? The hiking thing.
This.
Yeah, a carabiner.
Yeah, this is my signifier. I wear it so proudly. What was I gonna say? Like a nice, like we kind of talked about the business wear, like, and you have to have like a nice button down, open chested. Nice statement necklace.
Oh, like a tuxedo vest. I Ooh. Love that those are coming back, but like with, well, okay. Cause like the older dykes be wearing the tuxedo vest with like a white tee underneath it. But mm-hmm. I love just the tuxedo vest as the top itself.
Same.
Love it.
Trying to think of other things. I have like a lot of it has to do
with slacks. I see this on your list. Yeah. Yeah.
Slacks. You talked about those.
Platforms of any kind.
Any kind. Black platforms. Like, when I say there's a difference, we talked about docs too. It's different. Mm-hmm. There's a single sole, and then there's a platform. Platform
right.
you are very much like, you've been here for a while. Like, that's kind of like earning your stripes.
You've
like,
been here for a while.
I had this single soul. And then once I moved to Baltimore, like once I got a little older, I got the more money. I got the platforms and just the gays came running. To me, like,
I mean, honestly, a lot of the stuff, like, I agree with all of this, and it is basically the same thing that the author is saying. Like, yes, yeah, all of these things on this list, lesbians have been wearing for forever, and yes, they are also extremely popular right now, because this could literally just be like a list of clothes that like you'll see outside of FIT or something. Yeah. Like, this list is, especially in New York, I feel like queer, whatever you consider queer aesthetics is just the look for young people in New York.
Yeah.
And a lot of like the nightlife trends, like a lot of that is just fashion here. So mm-hmm. everyone does kind of like look the same, and it's a little bit hard to parse whether or not it's kind of like one is influencing the other.
Yeah.
But it's probably the fact that New York has like one of the highest concentrations of queer people anywhere, yeah, if not.
Everybody decides to go, like, once you decide to be queer, or not decide, obviously, but once you realize you're queer, you're kind of like, how do I get to New York? Like, I literally was like, how do I get to my first pride? That's what we did. We went to our first pride, and I was just like, this is where I need to be.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah.
Good times. Yeah, there is just, like, the allure of, like, running away to the big city.
More people like me, like, I'll find my group, my people. May not be like that at all. I'm not.
Why didn't we think that? I'm trying to think, like, why did anyone think that? Rent was lower. Rent was lower.
Yeah.
We weren't really paying bills like that back then.
Yeah, we were just kind of, like, wishfully thinking and just kind of romanticizing what it means to, like, be gay. And probably just, like, TV shows, honestly, like.
Yeah. I mean, I do think now we do have media that is more accurate to like what the queer experience in New York is. What is that show that I told you about and I was obsessed with?
Oh, the one with the lesbian
Betty.
Yes, Betty.
Betty on HBO. That show,
I love that.
I cried so much watching that show. First of all, it's like possibly the most accurate depiction I've seen of just like, I don't know how old they're supposed to be on that show, but like your early 20 somethings in New York, it feels exactly like that show. And there's a ton of queer characters on the show, lots of lesbians on that show, and everyone has their own very like distinct style, and it feels so genuine.
Yeah, I think that's what we were all looking for when we wanted to move to New York. We wanted the life, yeah, that Betty showed us, the just hanging out, the
shenanigans.
Yeah, like that's what we want. That's, yeah. I think that's the allure of New York, the allure of like sometimes also the allure of dressing the way that we do. It's just kind of like you lean into the lifestyle that you want. Mm-hmm. You want an interesting lifestyle, you want an eccentric lifestyle, you want, you know.
My favorite scene, and I think this might be like one of my just favorite scenes in TV ever, is when I think the character's name Moonbear, the person who was had like a very strict family and like lived in Jersey, and the scene where they're coming off the ferry and they're changing their outfit and like hiding their like regular church clothes in their bag and stuff, and like putting on the nipple pasties and hopping, yes, on their skateboard. I was like, I have never seen such an accurate depiction of what that feeling is ever in my life before.
Was like, that the one where they're like skating through and just like they open their shirt and they're just,
yeah, yeah, and they just have the pasties on and the vest. It's just like everyone, like, watch HBO's Betty. Bring them back for season 3. We need another season of that show. It's fucking fantastic. And the scene later in that same episode where they're going back to Jersey, or they're taking the ferry back, and the dad is like on the same dock or whatever, and they're trying to hide and like change their clothes and stuff. And I was like, this is what it is. Like, this is actually reality for so many queer people who are not from a family that knows everything or from a family that allows them to express themselves. It's not like this romanticized, oh, I'm going to step out in my, you know, big old trousers and my Doc Martens. It's I'm for, you know, Black queer people, for queer people of color, it's I'm going to fucking sneak around and do what I have to do to be able to wear what I want around my friends.
Yeah, I feel like that is a little bit of my experience too, slightly different because I didn't grow up around a lot of queer people. But once I went to college, I definitely had to like kind of hide what I was like, how I was dressing, the things that I was doing.
And even when you go back home, it's like
you have to kind of put yourself back in that box.
Yeah.
And then don't take yourself out. Like now I've been, you know, I wear my stuff, you know, I wear what I want to wear. And, you know, I get questions, but then today I don't care. I'm an older version of me, but I remember, you know, stuffing my stuff in my, my bag, literally changing outside the house, putting the pasties on.
Those exact things. Like it was just such a immediate reflection of my experience that like, That was one of those scenes where I was just bawling, crying.
Like, my heart felt so full, like, just seeing her. I knew that was a good feeling. Like, I just knew she was, like, I wanted to be there doing that. Like, I wanted to be living that, like, that euphoria.
Because it's like, you finally get to, you've been sneaking, you know, your little fishnet top from Amazon in your bottom drawer, and you finally get to wear it, and you finally get to see yourself wearing that. Even though it is a terrible garment, it's the experience of seeing yourself in that way is like, it's worth it.
That was me in my first Pride, the harness that I wore for 3 years straight.
Right. Just all in Home Depot, stealing all of the chains.
Yes, literally every single chain. Every time I went to Home Depot with my parents, they'd be like, let's get some chains. They'd be like, what? Don't worry about it.
Thanks, thanks. Okay, that leads into my other question. How do you think like your journey with sexuality and gender has impacted your style?
I think it really, really impacted my style. I'm kind of going to work backwards and say that like in 2019 is when I kind of stepped into being non-binary. Before then, I would say I've definitely thought about being non-binary like 5 or 6 years ago, but it was literally like, wow, I think that's you. And then my immediate thought was like, that's too much to unpack. We're going to get to that later. And like, that was around your birthday, actually, when I officially started doing that, literally. Because I remember, because we were going out and I was like, I don't want to wear these clothes. I don't want to do this. Like, I was finally like, okay, I'm going to start dressing the way that I want to dress. Like, I had my little feminine period, my moment earlier in the day. And now I don't want to do that anymore. Now I want to wear my shoes.
Yeah.
Now I want to wear my trousers. I want to wear my button-up shirt. Mm-hmm. I want to wear, you know, my earrings. I want to dress myself, not down, but like dress myself lesbian down. Like, that's what I wanted. Like, I started really presenting that way. And my sexuality is just kind of, like we said earlier, like not saying the way I dress is solely to tell everybody that I'm gay, but I want to dress enough queerly enough for people to see me.
For people who, and I think like that's the reason why queer fashion and queer aesthetics are frequently associated with maximalism, is because when we finally get to adulthood and finally get to present the way we want to, it tends to just be a lot of like, for me, I feel like I'm compensating for the years that I didn't get to. So sometimes it can feel like more on top of more on top of more on top of more. Like that's the approach to styling myself.
Yeah, you're just kind of like spilling out everything that you wanted like for your whole life. And like, all right, I'm going to every outfit that I ever wanted to wear into this one single outfit. Yeah.
That's why it's telling a story instead of getting dressed. It's more because it's pent up. It's more than just I'm getting to finally wear my clothes. It's I'm finally getting to be the person.
Yeah, that's like how we said we're dressing to get compliments from the fellow queers. That's what I want.
That's all I want.
That makes my day. I go home happy knowing that everybody loved my outfit.
Alrighty, I think that is the end of the lesbian fashion episodes of Shampleshire's podcast. Jordan, as the first official friend of the pod co-host, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm a friend of the pod. Can I put that in my bio?
You can.
I had a great time. This was so much fun. I love talking about that.
Friend of the pod buttons or something.
We gotta make
sure. Also, very lesbian.
You know, see, being lesbian is just, it's everything you do. It's in everything.
Absolutely. Tell the people where they can find you.
Well, you guys can find me on Instagram at It is. JRD underscore Y. And on Twitter, it's Jim Pride, all caps, and then underscore. So Jim Pride with a G, G E M P R O D underscore.
And you can find me on Instagram at noelle.wtf. That's N-O-E-L-L-E dot W-T-F. On Twitter, because I had to change it, it's noelle.wtf, no dots. And of course, follow Sample Size Media on everything. Sample Size Media, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Leave a rating and comment. It really helps us out. And share the podcast. We don't exactly have a schedule, so definitely follow us on Instagram to know when we are dropping new episodes and stuff. With that being said... Bye.
Bye, guys.